With us is Representative Paul Tonko, Democrat of New York's 20th District, a wonderful guy and a friend of many years. We're all getting old in the tooth, right, Paul?
I guess we are.
You're too kind. You're a mere baby compared to me. Okay, so let's begin. The ongoing government shutdown and the question of the border wall. Let's leave that as a question.
Well, I think it's tragic that some 800,000 federal workers, 14,000 plus from New York, are impacted by this with not getting paid and working, or some just waiting on the sidelines. But our parks are impacted. A lot of enforcement, DEA officers and border control agents, individuals who make the system work, Secret Service individuals. So, you know, there are a lot of concerns, food inspectors. So we need to reopen government. We passed a series of bills last week that would reopen government, put the lights on, and make certain that services, valuable services, essential services, are again brought into the mix and that the workers are addressed with fairness and dignity.
Don't get me wrong. 800,000 people, it's a lot of people, and then there are many more who are contracted with or the rest of it. But really what this is about are the people that it affects who are not the government employees, the people who need the SNAP benefits or the people who need to use the services of government, which they depend on. I heard a story the other day about somebody who couldn't get their diabetes medicine because it wasn't available.
Right. There are painful consequences. The ripple effects are wide. Very far and wide with a shutdown, and it's something that could be avoided. When we passed our bills last in the opening week of the 116th session of Congress, they were picking up virtually just what was passed in a bipartisan way in a very heavily weighted vote from the United States Senate. And so we could have gone and had both houses of Congress approving this and sending it to the president. But the Senate Republicans chose to not do that. And I think the president is playing politics with this before what's best for the nation. And I think we need to put our business out there that will address the needs of the country and have this debate over the wall, but do not make it part of a government shutdown. It's a hurtful thing to the economy. And as you've pointed out in your comments here on the show, very painful for many who are in need of these services. I think the Select Committee will do most of its work in a messaging format, which will raise the consciousness and perhaps develop solutions that they hear about in their efforts to do outreach. So that will be helpful. But, you know, I just want to bring this all together so that the issue of climate change, which, by the way, will cross over several areas of policy, from transportation to the economy to public health to environment, the subcommittee that I'm hoping to chair as we organize with the Energy and Commerce Committee in the next week or two. So, you know, I think there's a major role for the environment policy here, and we'll play that role out to the fullest. And I think that it's important to bring all players together. As I said to the speaker, our new speaker, Nancy Pelosi, it is important that we're on the same page here because there's a lot of work to be done.
So that's interesting because my next question was going to be, have you discussed this division of responsibility with Leader Pelosi or Speaker Pelosi?
I have. And I've pointed out, reminded the speaker of the work that we've done to date. You know, when the criticism out there is that, well, Congress has not addressed the issue, I want to share with folks that we have tried, but the Republican majority didn't place a high priority on the issue of climate change or carbon pollution as it more impacts the communities that we serve in the country. So what we have done is brought in several perspectives, from labor to environment to business to international business to those who have had opportunities to develop some sort of carbon pollution pricing. And now we're establishing a series of principles that we think need to guide us as a caucus, as a House, and we're going to work with our new partners. I want to hear what they have done so that, you know, we're respecting all players here and bringing us together because the issue is that important and it has such urgency surrounding it.
So will anybody on your subcommittee or committee be part of the select committee?
I don't know that. I know that there's going to be several appointments. How that is done, you know, it rests with the Republican and Democratic leaderships in the House. I would think that certain areas, again, like transportation or health or the economy or environment may have a direct role there. But Kathy Castor, who has been asked to chair this select committee, is a part of Energy and Commerce. And so that connection to the committee is guaranteed by her presence, but I think it may be embellished by the appointments that will be made in the near future.
So let's face it, the Speaker, Ms. Pelosi, obviously was between a rock and a hard place because the young people who were coming in, this became symbolic of what they wanted.
Well, I think, too, Nancy Pelosi, as a big fan of strengthening the environment or our environmental stewardship, named a select committee earlier on before I arrived at Congress 10 years ago with Ed Markey involved because they thought the issue needed a lot of effort then to strike awareness and draw public opinion that way. But these times are changed because over the course of 10 years, we've seen a lot more commitment to climate change as a concept, and many more scientists speaking out as to the whole impact of carbon pollution on our health and well-being and our economy.
We only have a minute, but Governor Cuomo was on this air last week, made a lot of headlines suggesting that he was for Joe Biden for president, not necessarily for Elizabeth Warren, who he sent to sort of did an end run around. You, sir, have you declared your interest yet?
No. I think it's going to be a very crowded field.
That's what he said about Elizabeth Warren, yeah.
And I think that, you know, the process will play itself through. I think that Joe Biden brings a lot of strength and a lot of experience and has an image of a healer. And I think Elizabeth Warren certainly has spoken to the economic unfairness out there of policy that has impacted the great many of us in the middle-income community. So I think they both bring a lot of strength to the efforts to unseat the president in 2020.
He used to be governor of New Jersey, Governor Hughes. They used to call him Two Buckets because he was always carrying a bucket around on either shoulder and not wanting to give himself away. Should we call you Two Buckets, Tonko?
Not yet. I think that it's too early for that label.
Great to talk to you, Paul. When
Thank
we come
you.
Back the next time,
Always
we got a
pleasure.
Lot more.